reports direct from Melbourne courtside and from our offices in New York City. It's the Australian Open edition of the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
First, we have Rafael Nadal going out of the Australian Open in straight sets before the final. And today, it's Roger Federer's turn. He loses to Novak Djokovic, just like he did in 2008, the semifinals, straight sets. I'm Ed McGrogan, and talking with Steve Tigner, who was at the match tonight. Your first initial thoughts on it? You just got back from the grounds, I know. So why don't you just kind of recap what you were thinking as you were watching this and after it ended?
Well, it started really high level. You could tell they were both. There was more energy in Labor Arena than there had been for any match. There might be, you know, some of the Nadal match, maybe the Nadal-Tomic match had a certain energy, but this was more like, now it's the semifinals, now it's Federer and Djokovic. There was an extra energy in there, and you could tell the players, those two guys felt it. They came out really, their shots were almost unnecessarily good, and the first set was about as good as you can get. Djokovic, I guess it was sort of a signal for the future of the match that Djokovic, at that point, raised his game, sort of took over with his forehand, I thought, in the tiebreaker, and Federer missed one makeable backhand down the line that he's been sort of the shot that he's been trying to hit more of, that we've talked about, do more with his backhand. He missed it pretty badly, and that was the tiebreaker. And then Federer got it. And then it looked like Federer might turn the tables. He sort of changed his tactics early in the second set. He had been sort of going after Djokovic, and that wasn't working. It was really, pace was really working to Djokovic's advantage. His balls were moving through the court much more quickly. So Federer tried a little bit of, I guess he would call junk, some high rolling shots and some slices, and that worked. He broke, and he got to 5-2. He served forward at 5-3, and then Djokovic played a really good game, and Federer made a couple, I think Djokovic just anticipated what Federer was going to do on a couple shots. Maybe it's a familiarity between the two, but also I think it was just Djokovic's night, and it was a game, Federer said later, that was crucial. He, you know, closing out a set at 5-3, that's the kind of game that he would normally, in the past, would always wrap up, and then the match would
start. Yeah, for the
split sets, but this time that didn't happen.
Yeah, when I always think of back on some of Federer's, his success at slams, I think more so than people may give credit for is how well he serves. And tonight he didn't seem to have staying on that with, I guess if you want to look strictly at aces, that was kind of low, but he just didn't really seem to get a lot of free points off there, and just and then. Couldn't serve out a couple of advantages or salvage or consolidate breaks. So I thought the serve was pretty key for him in kind of letting this, at least the second set, slip away too.
Serve is big for both of them. Djokovic served really well. This is one of the better serving performances I've seen from him. He got nervous at the end of the match, but he had his serve. That's really how he closed out a few of those service games at the end. Federer didn't have as much. I think Federer was a little either spooked or he just had some of his confidence was a little undermined by the conditions in this. He brought up the Simone match in the press conference afterward, and I think since then he's felt like playing at night hasn't worked out for him. He said his spinny shots didn't do as much as somebody like Djokovic's or Simone's sort of more penetrating, flatter, two-handed backhand type shots. And I don't know if that, I mean, that was definitely, I think that was true. But I don't know whether also it was just something that was in his head as well, where he didn't feel like he could take the first strike, that he was that things were against him in that way. It did seem to stick with him. But it was also, I think it was true, because Djokovic said he loves this court and it's perfect for him.
Yeah, I think you're right about the backhand too. I just don't recall seeing too many of those really flat, penetrating ones from Federer that we've seen a little bit. For Djokovic too, it is a very fitting place to get this done, but it's so strange. Then I feel we were almost at the point of writing him off in a sense, like last summertime really, and and it had just been sort of underwhelming performance after underwhelming performance at the majors, and since then it looks like he's just kind of become a completely more confident, different player. And tonight I think just the latest example of that.
Yeah, everybody's a confidence player, but he really is as well, because his game doesn't vary that much. You know, he's always pretty solid. It's just whether he feels like he can win these matches. But he almost was out of the U.S. Open in the first round against his teammate Troitsky, and then he made the final. I think the big thing for him, he mentioned it tonight, was the Davis Cup. It's still sort of riding that. He feels it's a great experience that he said is in his head and keeps him. Has kept him positive even you know, all the way till now.
Yeah. Would you say regardless of who gets to him in the final that he's the guy to beat?
Yeah, he's got to be the favorite. He's played so well in the last few months, and he just beat Federer in straight sets, and really, you know, even Federer was just said, "Well, yeah, played me." Federer couldn't even when he had a set in hand, Djokovic outplayed him to break him, and then you know, he really outplayed him when it counted in the first two sets. And then I think Federer didn't have a good third set, but yeah, you gotta like Djokovic.
Yeah, he looked just fantastic tonight all around. Touch on the semifinals that happened earlier before the men's match. That was the two women's semis. We have Clijsters going through. She beat Clijsters go through over Zvonareva, and Li Na comes ahead and defeats Wozniacki. I'm just thinking now, did both of them play yesterday as well?
Clijsters and Zvonareva had played.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. One was against another. Regardless, Clijsters very convincing win. That was kind of over before it just got out of hand a little kind of quickly. The bigger one was involved Karen Wozniacki, top seed, and she holds a match point against Li Na, and after that wasn't converted, the tide shifted pretty quickly, and eventually she won in straights. How was that match out there in terms of you know, the play, the atmosphere? How was that outside?
That was a great match. It didn't start. It started out as if Li Na was just totally going to go away. It's one of those matches where we see it a lot. Somebody serves her a match at 5-4, they don't. It's almost as if whoever wins that game is going to win the match, not just the person who's serving. If they can't close it, they're going to be in trouble mentally. And Li Na, really, up until that point, it was a combination. She'd been going for too much, hitting a lot of awful shots and forehands, sailing forehands long, 10 feet long. And Wozniacki was smart. She played a, you know, very typically crafty game. She didn't just push. She mixed it up, and she took her chances to attack. But she also let Li Na self-destruct, and got all the way to match point. Li Na pulled the trigger on a forehand, and it went in. Wozniacki couldn't get it back. And from there, you could see Li Na just change completely. The next point, she played a great point, won that. She won that set. She won the next three games, and then she was the stronger player. From there, I mean, she is a stronger player than Wozniacki. Wozniacki has to rely on her missing to a certain degree, and she almost got there. It was a shame for Wozniacki. She was pretty depressed in her press conference. She just, you know, she had felt like she'd let it get away. This is her chance to first final and to maybe, you know, sort of silence or quiet the doubters of her. At least for a few days, but now she's stuck still at the semifinals. She doesn't get another chance till the French Open. But Li Na is a good winner. She's a great, you know, she's a good player to watch. She's an attacking player. She, in a way, she deserved it because she took the match. Wozniacki at the end, when she tried to serve it out, she got a little more cautious than she had been. She hoped Li Na was going to keep missing, and she didn't quite miss enough.
Yeah. What do you think of her chances against Clijsters tomorrow? Or yeah, that's when the final is tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they're good. She just, you know, just beat Clijsters in Sydney. There's a statistic that people are talking about here that nobody ever wins Sydney and Melbourne because they're back to back. They're too close together. The last person to do it was Henin quite a while ago, maybe five or six years ago. I think Lina has a good shot. She should be less nervous for this. We'll see. A final has its own atmosphere, and Clijsters has used that the last two U.S. Opens she's won. She's been the more experienced player, and the other player, Wozniacki and Zvonareva, have been rookies, and they showed it, so there's always a potential for that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we'll stop with right there, and we'll get to tomorrow. The other men's semi is Ferrer and Andy Murray. Winner gets Djokovic in the men's final. For Steve Tigner, I'm Ed McGrogan. Thanks for listening, and tune in again.
You've been enjoying Tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.